You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 21st of March 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've just had the equinox, the equal hours of daylight and equal hours of darkness. We're well into the spring now and the summer is on its way. I was out with PA Wales over the weekend, had a great time. Unfortunately, that means that there won't be a real Britannia for today, and I do recommend people join up with their local PA regional group. You will meet a like-minded community, you'll make new friendships with good people that can be trusted, and you'll have a lot of fun and learn about British culture, go on cultural visits, cultural events, and also get involved in activism, trying to improve conditions for the indigenous folk of these islands. Well, I've got rather a long article that I'd like to get into today, and it's basically a very sad article about how children are manipulated into going along with the transgender agenda. And in this case, the person ended up committing suicide at a very young age. A California mother says the government wrongfully took away her daughter, pushed the girl into transitioning to male, and is to blame for his suicide, age 19. Andrew Martinez, born Yaeli, stepped in front of a train on September the 4th, 2019. And of course, this death will be used by the transgender lobby to claim that transgenders are committing suicide because of the way they are discriminated against in society. But the truth is here that this girl had depression, and instead of the teachers being able to say, or the doctors even being able to say, well, we think you might have depression, if somebody is presenting as a transgender, the law is that you have to affirm the gender that they are presenting as. And if you have to affirm that they are transgender, then you cannot offer an alternative explanation for the way that they are feeling. This is what is at the root of this. At least that is the way that the law is in Britain. And I'm fairly certain it's the same thing in America. And there are a lot of transgenders that commit suicide, but not because they're discriminated against by society, because they are encouraged to think that they are the opposite gender to what their body is telling them they are. And you can never solve that problem. It means you will be dysphoric for the rest of your life. And the more operations you have, the more modifications you make, the more you end up realizing, well, I've made all these changes to my body, but I can never actually be the opposite gender. And in actual fact, what they end up doing is making a mess of their bodies, and then they get even more depressed. I mean, gender dysphoria is dysphoria. It's not euphoria. It's the opposite of how people should be feeling. And we should be really encouraging these people not to be dysphoric. We should be helping them to be happy in the bodies that they are in, rather than encouraging them to wish that they were in another body, or to think that they can actually change their body and that will make them into a convincing woman or a convincing man. And most of the time we hear about transgenders that are male to female, but there are an awful lot of transgenders that are female to male. And I think it's even more difficult for a female to look like a convincing male than it is for a male to look like a convincing female. It's very, very sad. I mean, that there's been a huge explosion in the number of women that are now thinking that they are actually men. And in a lot of cases, they just start out as tomboys. And we've always had lots of tomboys. And as soon as, usually as they get to puberty, they discover that they're interested in the boys, and they stop being tomboys. And it's just a fad. But now, because we have this encouragement that if somebody is presenting as the opposite gender or doing things that are more associated with the other gender, then they're encouraged to think that they are transgender, and they're encouraged to stay like that instead of to just see it as a phase. Bereaved mother Abigail Martinez accused her Los Angeles County School of encouraging Yaley to take hormones and undergo gender reassignment surgery as a child while failing to properly treat her severe depression. And of course, the hormones they would have been encouraging her to take would have been testosterone, which would have effectively sterilized her. It would have meant that she was being put onto a pathway that leads to body modification. It says here she was encouraged to undergo gender reassignment surgery. So she was actually encouraged to have surgery while she was still a child. Martinez, who is a mother of four, claimed school staff told Yaley not to speak to her mother about transgender issues, but they secretly had her join an LGBTQ group that persuaded the girl that the only way to be happy was to transition. And a few months back, we heard about one of these LGBTQ groups and how what they were actually doing was looking at the Google search results that the students had that were in the class. And anyone that was looking into LGBTQ issues, they were literally targeting them and trying to get them to join one of these LGBTQ school clubs. And then once they're in there, in the club, they tell them, don't speak to your parents about this because they won't be supportive of it. So they drive a wedge between the child and their family. And that is what happened here. The El Salvador-born mother said an older trans student coached Yaley on what to tell social workers to put her into foster care so that the state would pay for her gender reassignment. So she didn't just think that she was a male. She also actually left her family, and she told the social worker untruths so she could get put in foster care. And the reason for that was to have this surgery, because she lived with this false delusion that all she needed to do was have this surgery and she would be happy. But most of the people, these people that actually have this surgery, it doesn't make them happy to have had that surgery, because they will cut parts of their body off and then they'll realize that they've got a different bone structure. And nobody, once they know what the bone structure difference is between male and female, is going to believe that they are a convincing male or a convincing female if they were born with the opposite gender. And that can be, you know, heartbreaking for them. And of course, they don't tell them that. They encourage them to believe that they can literally change into a man or literally change into a woman, when really all they have to do is look at the skeletons of a male and a female, look at the hip area, look at the difference in feet size and hand size. And these things just cannot be changed. And it must be awful for these people. Once they've, you know, had this surgery, and then they realize they can't do anything about their bone structure, their hands are big, and they can't go back to being the gender that they were before that because they've made all these modifications to their body. So they end up just being like this hideous mess somewhere in between male and female. It must be absolute torture for them. And this is why they end up committing suicide. And then the transgender lobby say, oh, well, they could have committed suicide because of the discrimination that's against them. So we need to encourage this all the more. And with all the promotion of this in the schools, that is what has led to this huge increase in the numbers of them, that and the hormone disruptors that we have in the environment, all the contraceptive pills, all the plastics that disrupt your hormones, lots of estrogen in the environment. And you can see what it does to the fish. I mean, the fish are all coming out with dual sex characteristics in a lot of cases. The male sperm rate has dropped by a half. Male testosterone on average has dropped by 20% over the last 20 years. And the result of this is that people are not so secure in their gender identity. And instead of encouraging them to be secure and helping them and trying to define the differences between males and females and encouraging males to be happy that they can do things that females can't, and encouraging females to be happy that they can do things that males can't. Instead of that, we're just encouraging people to think there's no difference between the gender, and we're trying to blur the lines between them, which just causes more confusion and more dysphoria. It's an absolute tragedy what is going on as far as gender is concerned in the schools. In a statement to DailyMail.com, LA County agreed that they aggressively pursued the implementation of inclusive, gender-affirming laws, policies, and supportive services for LGBTQ plus youth, but they partially laid the blame for Andrew's death on higher rates of suicide among queer young people. So there we have it. They're going to use that to encourage more of this to be done. They're going to say that he ended up killing himself because he was discriminated against, and they're proud of aggressively pursuing this. They think it's inclusive. They think it means that everybody is being included. It's not. It's exclusive. It's excluding people from being happy in the bodies that they are born in. The school district said any claim that they pushed hormones or surgery on any students was categorically false, and that their staff were diligent in connecting kids with outside medical help. Well, it could well have been these doctors that were encouraging the hormones. There are lots of doctors that are promoting this to children. We had a case a while back with a doctor in Britain that was doing this, and they ended up being struck off, and they just ended up moving their operation to somewhere in Europe where they were allowed to continue prescribing the opposite sex's hormones to young children. In a 2020 civil lawsuit filed against LA County and its Department of Child and Family Services, Martinez claims the government is responsible for her child's untimely death. And that is it. It's the government's policies. It's the government's laws, encouragement. That is what is causing this. You have to reaffirm somebody's gender when they, whatever that gender is that they present as, you have to reaffirm that. And not even doctors are allowed to say, well, this might be autism, it might be an eating disorder, it might be bipolar. If they were to do that, they'd be told that they're being transphobic, and they could end up being struck off. So the root cause of this lies with the government. Martinez said among her three daughters, Yaeli was the girly girl in the house, dressing as a princess and talking about all the boys she liked at preschool. But she was bullied for her looks in middle school, and by the eighth grade began showing signs of depression, her mother said. She began questioning her sexuality in high school at around age 15 or 16. So then she noticed that it was depression that the girl had. And it's the mother that's going to know. It's the mother that's known the child since birth, that is closest to the child. And yet the mother wasn't listened to, and the child was told not to talk to the mother about it. And questioning sexuality in high school, I believe that's quite a common thing when your hormones are going. We used to be taught when we were at school that it may be that you may end up with a crush on somebody of your own sex. Not to worry about it, that would just be a passing phase, and you'll go back to normal soon after. And of course, they don't tell people that anymore. They say, well, that means you must be homosexual. You should experiment as a homosexual because you might like it or something. It was very different when I was brought up at school, the sex education that we used to have to what we have today. And of course, back then, the sex education was considered to not be a good thing because it was encouraging people to have premarital sex and more teenage pregnancies. And of course, their argument was, well, this is to prevent teenage pregnancy. This is why we're telling them to use contraception and what have you. But it is really since the schools started teaching all of this stuff that we've had this big increase in premarital sex and the higher statistics for divorce that leads to. Once she moved to high school, by the beginning of sophomore year, things changed drastically, the mother said. She talked to her sister about how she liked girls. She was questioning her sexuality. It was a shock. But she was trying to find out her identity. It is normal. What children don't go through that at that age? And this is it. When you're a child, you go through various different identities. You might be a goth. You might be a heavy metal head. You might be a casual or a trendy. And now they include in that homosexuality or gender transitioning. But of course, if it's just a sort of music that you're into or a type of clothing that you wear, that's not going to affect you in later life. If it's transgenderism and you start taking the opposite sex's hormones, then you're going to end up sterile and you're going to mess up your later life. This is the danger with this, that they can make decisions which they can never undo. They'll be like that for the rest of their lives. And the mother said, I never imagined what the school would do. The school was telling her to go to these LGBT groups behind my back. And she went from questioning her sexuality to her gender. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, the mother knew about this. It's not like the mother was against the daughter or turned against the daughter or anything like that. She said it was a shock, but she thought it was quite a normal thing. The girl was just trying to find her identity. She had been interested in boys before that, and she just thought she would probably be interested in boys again after this. But this LGBTQ group got hold of her and confused her about that and got her to think that she was in actual fact the opposite gender, living in the wrong body. She had these peers at school that were 2 years older than her. They were the ones who brought these ideas. Maybe you're depressed because don't you feel like you're a boy? And the school was supportive of that. And of course, when you're younger, you like to hang around with people that are older than you. It gives you status and you listen to what they say. So this girl was probably looking up to these two that were in this group. And they probably, in this group, there were probably older people that were running the group that, as I say, we know that they find people that they can then target by looking through their Google search results. The school told her these groups were the place to go, and I didn't need to know about it. So they told her not to tell her mother that she was going to this group. I asked her what was going on, and she tried to deny it because she was told that if she talked about it at home, I would not support it. So why is the school doing something that they know the parent would not support, or that they suspect the parent would not support? The school are supposed to be there as surrogate parents. They're not supposed to do anything that for the child that the parent would not go along with themselves. I mean, this goes right against the grain of why it is that people trust the school with their children. And I'm not sure a lot of parents even know about this, because as it says here, the children are told not to tell your parents about it, that you're going to it. Martinez said she agreed to her daughter's request to be called Jay and tried to help her change her appearance, buying her masculine clothes to go with a shorter haircut, which Yaley later asked her to mask again with long hair extensions. So she sort of chopped and changed, was a little bit gender fluid. But the mother claimed it was Yaley's depression that was the problem and not gender dysphoria. So she was probably getting upset about the way that she looked. She was sort of trying to change her look, basically. Not trying to change her sex. Yaley had already tried to overdose on pills in the eighth grade in 2014 and tried to jump off a bridge near the freeway in her hometown of Arcadia in her freshman year, shortly after she cut her hair short, attracting the attention of social workers. And it sounds to me as if the child was probably bullied and maybe thought, well, if I have this LGBTQ identity, maybe they'll stand up for me and there's a group that I can belong to. The mother said, I just wanted my daughter back. I didn't want to be the mean mum to say no, no, no. I wanted to give her the help she needed at that time. But I knew the haircut or whatever she was trying to do wouldn't make her happy. I didn't like the idea of transitioning, but I just wanted her to find out what was leading her to go that way. I explained to the social workers, it's not going to work. My daughter needs mental health help. You have to go from the inside out. If she is happy with herself, that is all we need. Focus on that. very wise words there, because what the LGBTQ group were trying to do is saying, well, if you could, you just change your appearance, change what name you're called, that's going to make you happy. Whereas the mother is saying, all of that is secondary. You first need to be happy inside, and then you're not so concerned about what you look like. It's more important that the girl is happy with who she is, happy with the body that she is, rather than trying to change it and thinking that by changing it, that will make her happy. That's not what makes people happy. Instead of proper treatment for mental illness, Martinez said her daughter was encouraged by the school and her LGBT support group to take hormones and pursue gender reassignment surgery, and cut Martinez out of the process. So she was encouraged to mutilate her body and to take hormones which would have sterilized her and messed up her puberty, basically. Would have given her depression, I should imagine. If you're used to one set of hormones for one sex and then you start taking the hormones for another sex, that's going to make you really unbalanced. That's going to make you prone to tears and excitement. It's going to make you as if you're bipolar, I should imagine. It's really not going to help somebody that is questioning their gender. Yaley was allegedly told by her trans peers that the only way she could get it paid for by the state was if she was in foster care. So she was encouraged to actually leave the place where she was safe, leave the home that she was in, and if she moved into this foster care away from her family, she could then get the operation that would make her happy. So, I mean, she's going to be doubly sad now, isn't she? Because she hasn't got that loving family around her. And she thinks that it's just this operation that's going to do everything for her, fix everything. And of course, once they've had the operation and they realize it hasn't fixed everything, that they've still got the dysphoria, and it's now even worse because they can't undo the operation that they've had, that's when they get suicidal. Martinez said one trans friend and their parents coached Yaley, persuading her to run away from home in July 2016 and tell the Department of Child and Family Services that her mother had slapped her in the face. She said, "I was never abusive to my children. I love my children. I never slapped her. But she was coached by this family what to tell the authorities, so they could not send her back home with me." And then, of course, you've got the guilt that the child is going to feel about lying about the parents. So she's going to be there, cut off from her family in a foster home, feeling guilty about the lies that she's told the mother, and doing this so that she can get an operation that is going to make no difference to her dysphoria, if that is what she had, and more likely to make her even more depressed, which is what she actually had. Although Martinez kept custody of her three other children and continued to work as a nanny, an LA family court judge ruled Yaley, who now went by the name of Andrew, would be placed in foster care with brief monitored visitation rights by his mother. "On the visit days when she came to my house, I was told not to talk about God," Martinez said. "They told me if you do that, you will never see your daughter." So she's effectively, they just cut this parent out and said that you no longer have parental rights over talking to your daughter. You're not allowed to talk to them about the family religion that you want to bring your daughter up with. And they just separated her from her entirely. I mean, to say that you cannot talk about your religion, you cannot talk about God to a child, I mean, it's a family's right to bring up the child in the religion that they choose. I mean, this is something traditional that goes through generations. It's a central part of identity. So what they were really doing there is pulling away from this child what it was that actually gave her an identity. I dare say she'd been brought up as a Christian all her life, and it was a central part of the identity of the family, and they're saying that she cannot talk to her about that. What they're trying to do is pull out from this child what it was that gave her the identity, so that they can then insert a new identity of their choosing, a new trans identity of their choosing. She said, "But I brought meals to share with her on Saturdays, and we prayed before eating. She would close her eyes and bow her head." Well, she was lucky that she got away with that, really, if it was an accompanied visit. When Andrew turned 19 in 2019, he was sent to an independent house, but was struggling to get by and was hospitalized after another overdose attempt, Martinez said. You would think that they would look at this and they would say, well, They've had an overdose. This is obviously not working, is it? Treating this as transgender dysphoria is not solving the problem. It's just making things worse. There's another overdose attempt. She called me and said, "Mum, I don't have any food. My last meal, I'm giving it to a friend because she is pregnant. I told her I'm going to Costco and dropping off food. She sent me a message. She said, 'Mum, I wanted to cry because no matter what, you're always there for me.'" And this is it. She's been cut off from the family that loves her, that have always been there for her. And the LGBTQ crowd are the ones responsible for this. They haven't helped this girl at all. Social workers asked me not to call her by her first name. I just say, "My child, I love you." It was very hard. One day in September that year, Martinez said she was filled with dread and did not know why. "I didn't feel good. I felt a pain in my chest the whole day," she said. "I wanted to run and cry. It was a weird feeling I had never felt before. I got a phone call. They said it was Pomona police. Around 9:30 p.m. that night, she had walked in front of the train tracks facing a train. She went on her knees, raised her arms up, and just laid on the tracks. I wasn't able to recognize my daughter. I couldn't see her for the last time. I was told if I wanted to see her, I needed to sign a form because there was not much left to see." And this is horrific, what's happened to this family. Martinez said she and her family are now broken, and that although the state's intervention in Andrew's care was meant to protect her, in fact, it had the opposite effect. And of course, she would have been saying this the whole time, and nobody would have listened. And I guess they just couldn't do anything really, because it's the government's policy in action that has caused this. She said, "I knew the hormones wouldn't work. She was taken away from my house because they wanted to save her life. My question to all of them is, where is my daughter now? Why did they play with her life? I'm broken. My family life is not going to be the same ever again." A former civil rights director for the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, who helped Martinez with her case, claimed that the Arcadia School District and the LA County put politics before Andrew's well-being. I don't think it's just politics. I think it's actually the guidance, the law that says you have to reaffirm people's presented gender. Roger Severino told us that he believes district officials were afraid of losing funding and desperate to show their pro-trans credentials after being sued by the Obama administration in 2013 for discriminating against a trans boy and inappropriately pushed gender reassignment upon children as a result. So there may have been an overbearing push on this as well, to try and compensate for this supposed discrimination against a trans boy. A July 2013 settlement between the DOJ and the district obligated schools to promptly inform any gender transitioning student of their right to request a support team of appropriate individuals to ensure that the student has equal access to and equal opportunity to participate in the district's programs and activities. So this was probably to do with access to toilets or access to changing rooms back in 2013, I should imagine. "The state got between a young girl in trouble and the person who loved her the most, her mother," said Severino. "Instead of working through the underlying depression, they put Abby's daughter on a one-way track straight to transition and chemical interventions that would lead to permanent sterilization as a child. Before the state took Abby's daughter away, her depression got worse, and without having her mother's love, she took her own life. I think the school district ultimately is responsible for her death. To them, my child was a number in the system. It is all political," said Martinez. "I want them to change this broken system, not to play with our children's lives, to give them what they really need, not to go for what they believe. We are the parents. We raise these children. I don't want any other parent to suffer and go through what I've been going through. The pain does not have a beginning or an end." And this story has got to be going on all the time over there in America, over here in Britain now. And it's just massive, the numbers of children that are thinking that they are actually the opposite gender, born into the wrong body. And this is the end result of so many of them. We know this because the trans lobby themselves tell us that so many of them end up committing suicide. Arcadia School District denied pushing hormone treatment or gender reassignment surgery on any students and added that their staff do not treat depression. but do work tirelessly to connect their students to licensed mental health professionals. So they don't treat depression, but they do get young, impressionable children and encourage them to join LGBTQ groups. We share in the sorrow and grief for the Martinez family and continue to offer our sincerest condolences, the spokesman Ryan Foran told us. While we are unable to provide personal information or comment regarding a specific student due to state and federal laws protecting the privacy of student information, any claim or assertion that would suggest our school encouraged one of our students to take hormones and undergo gender reassignment surgery would be categorically false. Well, it wasn't the school, was it? It was the LGBTQ group that the child was encouraged to join by the school. Furthermore, a claim suggesting our school or a staff member did not properly treat a student's severe depression is both completely inaccurate and troubling, as our schools and staff would not be authorised or medically qualified to treat clinical depression. However, our staff work tirelessly to provide and suggest resources when appropriate to help connect students and families with licensed mental health professionals to treat conditions such as clinical depression. And again, they didn't do that. They didn't link the mother up with a licensed mental health professional. They encouraged the girl to join an LGBTQ group and they did not tell the parent. In fact, they told the child not to tell the parent that they had actually done this. And if they had said, well, it might be depression and not gender dysphoria, of course, then they would have been accused of being transphobic and there could have been a lawsuit against them. Los Angeles DCFS also extended their condolences, but said they cannot comment due to the pending litigation. The department added that they aggressively pursue the implementation of inclusive gender-affirming laws, policies, and supportive services for LGBTQ plus youth. And that's where this aggressive implementation of it ends up, isn't it? Suicide. They pointed out that LGBTQ plus children face significant disparities in physical and mental health outcomes, including higher rates of suicide. So you can see here that they're going to include this as a LGBTQ plus person that committed suicide due to discrimination, when the true story is completely different. DCFS has new contracts with the Los Angeles LGBT Center, Penny Lane Centers, the Help Group, and the Long Beach LGBTQ Center for tailored youth services, which are intended to uplift a youth's sexual orientation and gender identity. So they're basically there to encourage children to become homosexual or to become gender dysphoric for the rest of their lives. Therapy, leadership and mentorship programs, crisis intervention services, support groups, training and education will also be provided to youth, their families and caretakers through these organizations. And of course, that's where the encouragement to take the hormones from. That's where the encouragement to become a foster child so that you can get the operation for free. That's where all of that will have come from these mentorship programs. It was an older transgender teen that told her this. So that would have been through the mentorship program. I mean, it's just incredibly sad that this is going on. And at the root of it is government policy. And this is going on in Los Angeles. But over there in Texas, they've now outlawed all of this. And the law enforcement services have been instructed to seek out people that are doing this to children and prevent it and get the law on them. Because it is child abuse when you have teachers and schools that are entrusted by parents to do essentially the parents' wishes in bringing up the child, and they're actually encouraging them to be dysphoric about their gender and go onto a pathway that results in mutilation and sterilization is absolutely horrific. We're talking young, impressionable, innocent children here that this is being done to. It's not adults that are capable of making informed consent. It's children who in a lot of cases have not even gone through puberty yet. So they really don't know what it is they are signing themselves up for. They just see the exciting drag race on the television. I think it's all fun and excitement, and they'll be the center of attention. And they don't realize the depression that will come once they realize what they've done to their bodies. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.